Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's thanks to 200-200.
Hello, hello. We have about 10 after 12 noon, 700 WFM. It's a Wednesday, last day I'm pinch hitting for Willie. Today, I'm not sure who's in Thursday, Friday. That's it for me today. Back up bright and early tomorrow. But yeah, it's good to be here. Nice, beautiful, sunny day going on out there. You can't beat it. And before we get into the meat of things, I'm curious, anybody out there grow up as a friend of George Clooney? Close friend. You were buds. Did everything together. Slept over your house. You were nice to him. Never had any serious fights. I'd read this from some anonymous source a year plus ago, and I guess George Clooney has come out and said, yes, this did happen on an interview in GQ, where he did get 14 of his closest friends together and gave them each $1 million in cash in 2013. And I guess in this interview, he says exactly why he did that. At the time, he thought he might be a bachelor forever. And saw his friends as family, said it was good to see them. In the interview with GQ, the 59-year-old recounts how he decided to give 14 of his closest friends $1 million each in 2013. He said, I slept on their couches when I was broke. They loaned me money when I was broke. They helped me when I needed it over the years, and I've helped them over the years. We're all good friends. And I thought, you know, without them, I don't have any of this. And we were really close. And I just thought, basically, if I get hit by a bus, they're all in the will. So why am I waiting to get hit by a bus? Very generous. Very nice. I'm not knocking it at all. But there has to be a 15th friend out there who thought he was pretty close to George Clooney, too. The top 14 got $1 million in cash. He said he was flush with cash at the time. He said the movie Gravity came out. And he said he didn't want to pay us for the movie, so they gave us percentages of the movie because they thought it was going to be a flop. And he said it ended up being a very good deal. He said he drove to a secret location in L.A. where they have pallets of cash, wherever that might be, and loaded $14 million into a van that said florist on the side. He put the $14 million in 14 different Toomey bags, I'm guessing it's a type of luggage, and invited his friends over the next day. And he said, I held up a map and I pointed to all the places I got to go in the world and all the things I've gotten to see because of them. And I said, how do you repay people like that? And I said, oh, well, how about $1 million? And gave them each a suitcase with $1 million in cash in it. Somebody out there was really nice to George Clooney growing up, and not included in the close 14 here. Used to be somebody, a listener to the show, a woman, can't think of her name at this point, but maybe the topic way back was, you know, what was your claim to fame? And she was George Clooney's babysitter. Well, I'll bet she was nice to him. I bet she let him sleep on the couch right there. See? I mean, yeah, you do something like that, and where do you draw the line? $1 million apiece. I don't know, but nice guy. Very, very generous. Said he didn't think he'd be getting married, wouldn't be having kids or anything like that. So it was his friends that were in his will, and that's how it came out. So congratulations to the group. I would assume if it's $1 million in cash, and he's not saying who they are, you don't have to report it. There's no money trail, unless the IRS knows for sure who his best five friends are, and I doubt that. So nice guy. Good friend to have, I'll tell you what. Speaking of people needing money, there's a real push now, and I just brought this up yesterday kind of in passing, to go ahead and start giving money relief to student loans, student loan forgiveness, which means everybody else will pay your student loans. Chuck Schumer wants Joe Biden just to do it by executive order. Biden wants to see it go through the Senate. But it would be a lot of money. They're talking about anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 a person that would then be covered by us, the taxpayer. Now, nothing in this suggests that they don't have jobs. Nothing. It's kind of like the $1,200, but on a grand scale. You got the $1,200 whether you needed it or not. The stimulus cash went out. There was a ceiling on it. I forget whatever the ceiling was, but it just went out to people whether you lost your job or not. And that's apparently what they're going to do with the student loan forgiveness. I mean, there are people out there who got out of school and got a good job, and they've been paying off their loans, and they're still working, and had there was no impact from COVID, and they'll forgive. 10,000 is the low end, 50,000 is the high end, so there's no number that's decided upon yet. But like I said yesterday, the people paying this are the people who already paid for their own college or decided not to go to college and did something completely different. Now they've got to pay for somebody else's college tuition. And it's just flat out wrong. And it sends the message up front. You know, if you sign on the dotted line and say, I'll repay this loan, and then, never mind. You know, I guess there has been, the need to pay has been waived, and that waiver runs out, I think, in January. So if in the last, 8 months you haven't had to pay your student loans, it gins back up in January. That's where they want the forgiveness to kick in. And yet Chuck Schumer wants it done by executive order, and Biden wants it done through the legislature. And I would think good luck getting it through the Senate, but we'll see what happens. I mean, the stuff that one day is a pipe dream, the next day all of a sudden it's like a front burner issue. And it's nuts. All right, so what are we doing? I'm going to talk to our friends at Hawksworth here at the bottom of the hour after news, as there is an emergency right now. They need a lot of blood. And I'd had a couple emails from people on other questions regarding, I think in one case it was I think the writer said, gave blood at Hawksworth that they do a test as to whether or not you're COVID positive or if you have the antibodies, but they don't tell you whether you do or not. They want to know, but apparently they don't tell you, according to that emailer. So we'll have some questions on that when we get past 12:30. Meanwhile, what do we have? Mike was on something else. Well, we'll do that real quick and then back to the subject. What's up, Mike? Yeah.
Michael, how are you?
Loving life and living large.
Hey, do I owe you one or you owe me one from the days when you played ball with the All-Stars?
Owe you one of what?
Beer. What?
Beer. Why? What? Did we play you? What happened?
Oh, yeah. You played us a couple times. The Vietnam Veterans of America.
Okay, sure.
Over on Blue Rock Road and up at Little Flower Church.
Those were some good times. Those were some good teams.
Yes, they were.
We had some good teams and we played some good teams.
You did.
We got some good crowds for those. It was all done for charity, by the way, but we got some good crowds out there. So
it was a lot of fun, but I think you owe me one. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll have to figure out how to deal with that one of these days.
How about Friday at the American Legion in Mount Healthy, or fish fry?
Well, I'd love that.
I'll be working.
I'd love that.
I'll be working there, and I'll buy you one.
I'll be out of town as of Friday morning, which I'll complain about here in a little bit.
Okay. Hey, yes. Jason Philbin was on earlier. He was talking about the governor, the edicts the governor has out.
Yes.
And I think the biggest problem with these governors, they've got too many advisors, and they're trying to appease all of them. And all they're doing is pissing the public off.
Well, it's not a matter of appeasing. I mean, it's your job to take in the information and make decisions as to where it's going to go. So you have the health department over here, whose real interest is public health, public health, public health. Over here, you have the economists, whose real interest is the economy, the economy, the economy. And they've both got your ear, and you have to talk to both, and you have to figure out a way to split the difference and come up with a plan. I mean, I said that yesterday. These people aren't, they don't know any more about stopping a pandemic than you do or I do, all right?
That's right. That's
so
exactly right.
I ask anybody who's truly complaining, seriously, what would you do? It's not that far-fetched. I mean, the governor, bright guy, but not much brighter than anybody else. So you're given the same information. What would you do? If you hate what DeWine's doing, you hate what Beshear's doing, okay, what would you do? It's your job to make sure the healthcare system doesn't get overwhelmed.
Honestly, I don't agree with what they're saying. I don't disagree either.
I don't like it, but again, back to my point.
I don't care for it at all.
What would you do?
What would I do?
You'd answer your hate mail, but beyond that, what would you do?
I would take the synopsis of both of them, put them together, and come up with an alternative plan instead of saying,
well, what's the alternative plan? It's nice to say I come up with an alternative plan, but what is it?
Okay, so he says, you can go to the casino now, but you've got a 10 o'clock curfew. So then the casinos should close at 10, right? Or are you going to keep them there till 5 in the morning? And if so, they can't even play a card game because they're not allowed to touch the cards more than once.
I assume, hey, if you get to the casino at 9, you can stay till midnight, and then you can go home because you were at a place that didn't have to close.
Oh, I'd maybe imagine. That's because the state gets
it through. If everybody else, if every governor has it so freaking wrong, you tell me what you would do. So I got to run. All right, we'll get that beer later.
Good one.
You bet. Thank you very much. I got a friend of George Clooney here. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Yeah, Perry, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing okay. You feeling a million short?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's probably lost in the post office.
Probably. Well, you weren't invited to his house that night when he gave out the 14 suitcases full of $1 million.
And, you know, I had a going-away party for him when he moved from Mason to Augusta, Kentucky in eighth grade. And we had a little party at my house. And later my mom felt bad because she bought the cheap generic hot dogs and served them instead of something fancy. But
that kid deserved an upscale hot dog. He really did.
He needs to pay me back.
So once he went to Augusta, did you ever see him again?
He had Nina had a kind of a reunion party back down in Augusta, and a lot of his school buddies came back. But since then, not so much.
Not a Christmas card, not a nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I think five bucks in a Christmas card would be a nice gesture.
Well, I think he's jealous of me because we had a ongoing feud on who could be the class clown, and I thought my jokes were a lot funnier.
You won. That
might have upset him.
It's petty jealousy. That's what it is. You're right. All right.
Good to talk to you. Well.
Better luck later.
Talk to you later, George.
You bet. That's a deal. See you later. All right. What do we got? Got a pause here? Yes, we do. It's about 12:21. Stand by. Right back.
There are big issues to handle.
You've probably got strong feelings about it all.
Eddie and Rocky, they know we all need to talk.
We have some thoughts of our own.
We think it's
$723 million. $723 US, and I'll bet is one of the big stars. He got probably the biggest chunk of that. I got a text from Dennis Jansen. World-famous sportscaster Dennis Jansen said he thinks George prepaid the taxes. And I'll take your word for that. Speaking of sportscaster types, you know who could rob a bank today with his COVID mask on? Dan Hoard. I passed him in the hallway and had no idea who that was till he said, "Hi, Mike." Oh, that's Hoard's voice. Hi, Dan. He could look like anybody. Some people can really pull that off, and he's one of them. All right, what do we got? 723 worldwide, 723 million. That's a lot. All right, so we're talking about student loan debt and paying that off. That's what got me off on this tangent, and we went in a different direction. Joe and Muncie, what's up?
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man? Good to hear you.
Good to be heard.
Hey, that student loan debt, is that for everybody that's got student loan debt up to a certain point?
It's not specified. To cancel student loan debt, Biden says he wants to do $10,000 apiece, and Schumer wants it. Elizabeth Warren wants it at $50,000 per borrower.
Oh, yeah. Hey, have you heard any more about the stimulus?
No, just that they felt once the election was over, it would be a lot easier to get one passed. But no, I've heard that there's certainly no compromise, no.
I'd heard Trump early on before the election and said that there was something he could do, you know, I don't know, by fiat or however they do it, but he never did do it. I assumed he would have done that before the election if there was something he could do personally, but I guess it's not.
Congress handles the purse strings. Congress spends the money.
Right.
And Mitch McConnell had a huge number out there, $1.8 billion, I think. Right. And Pelosi said, no, it wasn't big enough. Actually, she wants the money to bail out the states that are in debt up to their eyeballs, like Illinois and New Jersey. And I'm way opposed to that. That's a worse idea than paying off student loans.
Exactly right. But I got one question. You're from Philly, right?
Yes.
I just had a Philly cheesesteak. And I know you'd probably be expert on that, but they did not saute the meat. They cooked the meat in a boiler and then cut it out.
What? Your thoughts? Where was that?
It was over in Muncie. I know, and they sewed it down on the grill and chopped it up, put it on the bun, called it a cheesesteak.
It's like if you went out of town, ordered a three-way, and they gave you macaroni and and ketchup and a slice of American cheese. That's not how it works.
That's exactly right. I thought of you when I got it.
All right. Good to hear from you. Thank you very much. Got to run. There is one place in town that has a good more than one that has a good cheesesteak, but the most authentic tasting cheesesteak in town is in Over the Rhine. Would that be 13th Street across from the big white church? Is that St. Mary's Church, St. Somebody's Church? Right off Main. And it's just a window front. It's not a restaurant you'd go into. It's a window front. Something on the Alley is the name of it. But if you're in that neighborhood, it's easy to find across from the one big white church in Over the Rhine. That's a good cheesesteak. Aiming for authenticity. All right, got to get some news into the picture. It's 12:30.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Pleading with people to just stay.
All right, and what do we? I'm going to talk here to our friends at Hawksworth for a few minutes. Alicia Lipton stands by. A couple of questions I got from the crowd at large and a few other things. But first of all, Alicia, it's been a while. It's good to talk to you. How are you?
I am doing good. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, but I understand your blood supply is low. Number one, let's get the real business out of the way. You need blood.
We do. We need blood donors and platelet donors right now. We're issuing an emergency appeal today, and some of that is due to overnight massive transfusions. Another part of that is we're going into this holiday week of Thanksgiving where people tend not to come and donate. They're busy with prepping, seeing family, traveling.
Right.
We need them to come in and donate now. I do realize that the cases of COVID are up. So we're asking people, you know, not to congregate, not to go to public places, but blood donation is safe. We have several protocols in place. We wipe down all of our hard surfaces between donors. We wear masks. Our donors wear masks. So it is still safe for you to come to a blood drive or one of our centers.
What caused the massive number of transfusions last night?
Some of that was due to surgeries and then also emergency procedures.
Okay. Specifically type O, you're low on?
We are low on type O and also A positive, but right now we welcome donors across the board. We need to be able to maintain a healthy supply on our shelves during this ramp up to the holiday and then for that holiday week. It's the blood on the shelf that matters when you or that family member has the crisis.
Right. Okay, so the APB is out there. Do please give blood ASAP. Do you require that anybody had a COVID test within X amount of time showing up, or how do you handle that?
If somebody has had COVID in the past, we request that they be symptom-free for 14 days. So that is even if they had mild symptoms, you know, or asymptomatic.
Yeah.
If they had that positive test, we want them to be symptomatic for 14 days before they come donate.
And then would you like their plasma?
Yes. If they have had a confirmed case of COVID-19, we want them to donate convalescent plasma. That product is then transfused to those people in the hospital who are critically ill fighting the virus. We have seen very good results by that. So far, we have collected 2,784 products, and we've distributed 2,225, and that's to patients just right here locally within our tri-state. We've seen a huge increase for need in the convalescent plasma. At the beginning of October, we were sending out about 8 units a day to the hospitals. We are now averaging about 46 to 50 units a day,
mm-hmm.
with an all-time high of being 62 units last Thursday.
All right. This is an email I got from a listener just yesterday. It said, Mike, my wife and I have recovered from COVID. In the last 2 weeks, my wife wants another COVID test before visiting the grandbaby. I've heard on your show that Hawksworth is looking for plasma. You have people with COVID. We know all that. I looked online, came to find they will test your blood for COVID and for antigens, but will not share the results with you. I was wondering why that would be. First of all, is that the case?
Well, if somebody's coming in and they have registered to be a convalescent plasma donor, we are then testing that product for antibodies to make sure that it has the right antibodies that we could transfuse to the current COVID patients.
Right.
That Right. That information is not given to the donor because we're not a diagnostic center. So we don't want to get into the business of diagnosing somebody to let them know that they definitely have a specific level of antibodies.
So you look at it and say, okay, that's good enough, but beyond that, you don't want to be any more specific. You can't, you're not in a position to get more specific.
Exactly, exactly.
You test for COVID as well?
No, we do not.
We do not.
At this point in time, we are not testing for COVID.
If somebody were to get the vaccine, let's say you were in a clinical trial and you know that you had the vaccine that works, would those antibodies be the same as someone who has recovered from COVID, and could they also donate plasma? Not that we have that many of them these days, but we will eventually.
Right. Right now, for individuals that are in any of the studies, they cannot donate for a year after their last injection, and that is FDA regulation right now. Now, that could possibly change as the vaccines become approved, but during this time, with it being a clinical study, it does have a deferral of 1 year after their last injection.
Okay. I will mention you're all over town. You're in Anderson, Blue Ash, Fort Mitchell, Westchester, Tri-County, Western Hills, and at right by UC. The big
one. Exactly.
And make an appointment. Yeah. Get in there, please, and donate blood because you're at a critical level.
Right. And they can call us at 513-451-0910. They can visit us online at hawksworth.org. And then if they are recovered from COVID-19 and they want to make that convalescent plasma donation, we do ask that they register ahead of time for that. And they can do that on our website, hawksworth.org/COVID-19.
All righty. All right. We think we have it covered. Hawksworth.org.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right, Alicia.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck with it. We'll talk again. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. There you have it. They need the blood. Give the blood, please. And just came across the story off to the side. You know, radio stations, there's the occasional faux pas. Radio station in France, and it's a big one, accidentally on their website published obituaries for people who are still alive, including Queen Elizabeth, Clint Eastwood, Jimmy Carter, the Ayatollah, Raul Castro. That's a big whoops. Because they do. You'll notice that somebody dies, and within a half hour, they seem to have this on television. We'll say, you know, a whole story of the background of their life. You know, wow, that was fast. You know, most of it is prepackaged and ready to go in the event somebody does meet their demise. I always wondered what age you have to be as a well-known person to have your obituary in the can. I would think if you're 25 years old, probably not. But at some point, that cutoff is there. All right, we have a few holding on for a long time. Appreciate the patience, and we'll get back to it on a couple different subjects. In Kenwood, Jeff, must be a neighbor. What's up?
Mike, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you, Jeff.
Good. Listening to your topic on college loan forgiveness makes me think of all the government entitlement programs that are out there, and there's a great read I would highly recommend to your users. It's a bit academic, but it's a great chronicle or history of such entitlement programs. It goes all the way back to Civil War pensions. It's called The High Cost of Good Intentions.
Yeah.
And it chronicles how all of these programs, well-intended, and often at the time they're put into practice, well-funded, government surpluses at the time. They always sound good. They're well-intended, but then they grow and they morph, and it's not the family of the guy who died in the Civil War getting money. It's his nephew who had a claim that he couldn't work because his uncle died in the war, and it spreads and it spreads. Right. They get layered on. They never get pulled off.
Well, the last person to collect his Civil War pension just died early this year or late last year. He fought in the Civil War, and as happened back then, at an old age, he married someone young. Maybe he was 82 when she was born, and she lived to 94 or something like that. And she just died. She was collecting her father's pension from the Civil War. It wasn't a lot of money.
It's a great read. It goes to Social Security, and goes to the New Deal, and it goes to food stamps. It goes to all of the wonderfully intended programs. But my grandchildren have to pay for this at some point, and their tax rates are going to be where they were when I was a young man growing up under the Nixon administration in the 70 and 80 percentile it's just crazy. It's got to come home to roost at some point. But it's a great read if you want to know the facts behind where all this stuff started, and just kind of parallels the point you're trying to make with this latest on loan forgiveness.
Yeah, this one amazes me. All right. Thanks for the tip, Jeff. Have a good day. See you later. Doug, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, just a couple points, Mike. First off, regarding Governor DeWine, I think what he should be doing is following existing law to begin with. I think that would go a long way to, people being more accepting of his policies.
Well, the governor is allowed, any governor is allowed under certain emergency situations. They are allowed additional powers, especially if it comes to a matter of public health. Now, I don't know.
Yeah, but how long does this emergency last for? Come on. This is, 8 months into this or longer?
Well, I would say as long as the hospitals are full, as soon as you take your foot off the brake, it will become massive. It still qualifies as an emergency. Is there reason to believe that would happen? If we reopened everything everywhere right now, yes, there's every reason to believe that would happen. So post-vaccine, we should be in pretty good shape, I'd like to think, by May or June.
Well, again, doing what's right is not always the popular thing, and I do believe he's trying to appease his base. Okay, second point. I do completely agree with you with regard to the student loan debt. I'd like to know if that's going to be retroactive. I worked 3 jobs going through college to pay for my college education.
Yeah.
I have 2 kids in college now. I got a 3rd going next year, and they all three have no financially how to secure a loan, pay back their loan, and they all three will work their way through college working a job. So it just amazes me when you're financially responsible how, we're penalized for being financially responsible.
Sure.
For people who can't seem to live financially responsible.
I know. I mean, it's across the board. This doesn't even allow for the fact that maybe you have a great job. Maybe you're making $150,000, went to Harvard. It doesn't matter. They're going to forgive that percentage of your student loans.
Yes. Well, my son gave me an example just the other night saying school to be a nurse. So he's going to come out with a bachelor's degree, making pretty good money as a nurse. Well, he has a supervisor at college who does nothing but complain about the fact that he has an advanced degree but can't make the kind of money that people who don't have his advanced degree.
Right.
It's
well,
not
figure hard. Out. You should look into what it's going to cost, what's going to pay before you take the job. I mean, it's pretty elementary.
Bro, absolutely. I mean, I'm a truck driver now. I worked 27 years in the profession that I went to college for, and now I'm making more money driving a truck than I did with 27 years of experience and a college education.
Well,
so
enjoy driving the truck. Enjoy driving the truck. Enjoy the view.
One other point.
Real quick.
Well, the other thing is I think Biden is appeasing his base because AOC has already come out and said that if, we're not giving concessions with regard to student debt, we're not going to support the Green New Deal and this other stuff. So he's trying to get that out of the way so we can all be a united front and moving forward.
Sure. And then investigate.
Right.
Investigate the Trump administration. Investigate. Punish.
Sure.
It'll bring us together. All right. Got to run, Doug. Thank you. And the other one, number one, not knowing what the job might pay if you major in that and get that job. If you were watching TV, like the shows on HGTV were like house hunters. People go shopping for a house and like in San Diego and they're moving from Topeka or something. And they're just shocked at how much a house is, wherever it is they're moving. I had no idea it would be that expensive. Wouldn't you Google that before you move to a different city and see how much a house would cost you? Why would you commit to moving somewhere if you had no idea what the living expenses were? And it happens. Really? Well, we can't get much for our $125,000. Got us a lot in Topeka. I mean, look it up. Let's see. Anybody holding a long time? Not really. So a quick pause. Right back. 700 WLW.
It's your hour-long off-season get-together for everything Red. Hear from the players. Hear from the front office. Hear from professional baseball announcers.
He's speaking on the status of the bridge, the Brent Spence Bridge. So we'll carry that and find out what's new. As far as I know, some steel is coming this way, and it's still going to be December 23rd before it opens, unless they have something new to add. Anyway, 2:30, we'll find out. And then Governor Beshear is speaking at 4. We'll carry that. That has to do with new restrictions in Kentucky. I have to get into the restrictions in Pennsylvania and how that screwed up my week. Following news, top of the hour, we have other things we're talking about, student loan forgiveness and more. And Mike in Columbus, what's going on there, Mike?
25 years, my friend, and you make way too much sense for the normal populace. It's interesting because in midday I can hear you better because I'm out walking dogs, so I just have my headphones on and I listen to you. And you don't give me anything to argue about, but you do give a lot to segue into. And your point about the student loan, it's completely perplexing to me. If you take a look at the left and their hatred for the rich, and they're wanting to tax the upper percentile of wealthy, which is not me, why in God's name would you allow for a plan like this, college forgiveness, not to penalize those wealthy people that have college loans?
You know, it's typically not the poor who have student loan debt. It's middle class and above that have student loan debt. This is a giveaway to the upper class, largely.
Exactly. I mean, how in the world does this help inner city, lower class, lower earners, high unemployed people that don't have college loans? Who in the world does this help besides the upper middle and higher class?
The more expensive a school you went to, the more money you get. I mean, if it goes up to $50,000, but you only got $20,000 in debt because you went to, I don't know, UC or something, then you'd get your $20,000, which is wrong. But then if you went to Harvard and you're carrying $60,000 in debt, they'll give you $50,000 of the $60,000.
I mean, well, you'll be carrying a lot more with Harvard,
right,
you know.
The more expensive the school, the more money you get.
I know. Is there a lack of, I mean, there's no common sense anymore. It's so disturbing to me. I mean, I'm going to be 70 years old, and I'm glad I don't have children to face what these guys are going to be going through. The handout situation is absolutely out of control. Lazy, self-expectant, wanting it immediately, and I'm not considering how other people feel. I mean, I had a discussion with a fellow Republican yesterday who has now unfriended me because I didn't want him to continue to post comments that weren't provable. I mean, I've just gone through 4 years of interrogation of my president and everybody's president.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on the other side of that complaining about this election for 4 years.
When it's convenient, either side does it. When it's convenient, either side ignores science. When it's convenient, either side goes with the narrative instead of the facts. And they point the fingers at the others saying, you're the ones doing this. When it's convenient, they all do it.
Well, who's going to get blamed now since apparently Biden has already started, I know you're short on time, Biden has already started complaining that Trump is not letting him in on the whole COVID situation. So now you've got Biden, he'll do for the next 4 years, blame every death since Election Day on Trump.
It'll happen anyway. That's going to happen regardless. It's Trump's problem from day one because he screwed it up at the beginning. If it didn't start off on the foot it started off on, we wouldn't be where we are today. You'll hear that time and again.
And you've got the stock market maybe crossing over 30,000 today, and that's going to be Biden's acceptance speech.
Probably.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I know. Got it right, Mike. Oh, thank you. Thank you. See you. Larry, what's up?
How you doing, Mike?
Doing all right. What do you got?
Real quick, I'll just make a comment, and you can I'll listen to you. I thought of the wine. I think I would have just broke it up into 3 7-day increments, and I would have said 21 days. I would have just said after 7 days, then we'll go from there, and we'll either make the adjustments. I don't know why he could have just said that and then said just saying 21 days.
Well, if you don't think 7 or 14 is going to be enough, you just make it 21. Don't get people's hopes up, then dash them, put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I would just wait after the first 7 days, then go from there. So why just say 21 days?
I don't think 7 days of closing at 10 o'clock at night, I don't know how that's going to affect really anything. I mean, it boils down to stay home unless you got somewhere to go. Well, that's what people do anyway.
Yeah, I just don't understand why he says 21 days. Why couldn't he just start off with three 7-day increments? That's what I don't understand.
I mean, some people might say, I'm going to start shopping at 10 o'clock at night because no one else will be there. It'll get more people out of the house.
Okay, Mike, that's all. I'm used to you being on the morning with your Chino.
I'll be there tomorrow morning, bright and early.
Okay. All right.
Got you covered. Thank you. Yeah, coming up on news time. And, yeah, yesterday it's, you know, these restrictions come along, and I just got hit out of the – good thing I have a nose for news, and I happened to be online yesterday when this thing came along and screwed up my trip. But we'll get the details after news. Got to do that now because it's 1 o'clock. You got News Radio 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Spreading a warning as the virus.
Not Friday morning because my plans had to change. I'm going to go back east, beat the Thanksgiving busy travel season by going the weekend before. I have a little thing planned at my sister's house, and it's nice because she bought the house we grew up in. So we go back to the same house at Thanksgiving. It's great. Brothers and sisters there, nieces, nephews. It's going to be a pared-down event. I think there are only 7 or 8 of us there this year, and we're going to do it outside. It's supposed to be low 60s. That's not bad. If you were tailgating, you'd say this is great. So I'm going to do a Thanksgiving thing outside on Sunday, on a Saturday. So I'm all set to go a Friday after work. And yesterday I'm online around evening time. Just all of a sudden this come across this one story. New travel restrictions announced for Pennsylvania. I'm like, well, great. What are these? Effective 12:01 Friday morning. I'm leaving like 10 hours after that. 12:01, you have to have a COVID test. Results of a COVID test not more than 72 hours old to get into the state of Pennsylvania. Well, it was already too late for that. There's no way I could get a test and get the results and guarantee I would have it by the time I left. Now what? Move everything. So you call the airline. At least they're nice about it in these COVID times. Got the flight changed that I'm going to leave on Thursday. Then you get to go to the, go online, go to the rental car, change the rental car, get that done. It's a bed and breakfast I stay at when I go. I had to call him, get that straightened out. All right, I've got the bed and breakfast. Then had to try to get the day off because we're kind of in a pinch. Willie's out. Oh, Sloan was scheduled to be off. Somebody else is off. Anyway, got that worked out. That I think Steve Hawkins is in for me Friday. Got all that nailed down. Got up this morning, went online, and now it says the restrictions are voluntary. I mean, it was a solid hour of scramble to get this, get to change everything, and now it's voluntary. Well, thank you very much. Why didn't you say that yesterday in the original story? It was, no, you can't get into Pennsylvania. Or if you didn't have one, you were supposed to quarantine for 14 days. Well, I'm not staying for 14 days. I'm going for a weekend. And then the whole thing changes in the end. So different restrictions are coming down the pike. And, you know, Kentucky will have new ones announced, the Gov, at 4 this afternoon. And we'll carry that live. And, of course, one of the restrictions in Ohio has to do with dancing. You're not allowed to dance. No dancing. I'm like, where'd that come from? Then I read this story in the Daily Mail. They have the story in the Daily Mail, but actually it was originally a story on Channel 5. So the Ohio couple is speaking out after 30 people contracted COVID at their large wedding ceremony and now being dubbed a super spreader event. It's Anthony and Michaela Bishop. Tied the knot in Blue Ash, Ohio, October 31st. So Halloween, 83 guests. And 2 weeks later, almost half of them had come down with coronavirus, including 3 of their elderly grandparents, who also had to be rushed to the hospital, suffering severe symptoms. So they got to the wedding. First of all, they did try, they pared back the number of people. They separated the tables at the reception. They did had the hand sanitizer, did everything they thought they had to do to have a smaller wedding. And then she said, walking down the aisle, all of a sudden I see everybody's face. No one's wearing masks. And he said, I guess we'll go with that. And then when on their honeymoon, they're getting calls every day of different people coming down with COVID, including their 3 grandparents. Then they came down with COVID, apparently while on their honeymoon, at least make it look that way. And the numbers were racking up over time, and they're feeling guilty about the whole thing. And they went back and tried to figure out exactly what went wrong, how it went wrong, and they chalk it up to the rowdy dance floor. Cue the governor. The couple say they believe the rowdy dance floor at their wedding reception was where the virus would have easily spread, saying that's what the super spreader event was on the dance floor, the bride Michaela believes. Said everybody is in each other's face, no masks, And the next thing you know, the governor says, no dancing. And this may have been the birth of that bright idea, right there in beautiful Blue Ash. Doesn't say where the reception was, but and there are no photos of the reception. But that's probably the biggest local super spreader event, unless somebody else can think of another one. They said almost half, 83 people there. You got to figure the better part of 40 people, including three elderly grandparents. And that's a problem. Other than that, how was the wedding? I hope everybody had a good time. So, we have the do's and don'ts of this was in the Inquirer, I think, this morning. What you are and are not allowed to do under the new coronavirus restrictions in Ohio. When does it take effect? 10 p.m. Thursday, November 19th, ends December 10th. How will it be enforced? So cops aren't going to pull people over, so I wouldn't worry about that. What's the punishment? It could be the second degree misdemeanor, 90 days in jail, $750 fine. Then they said the lawmakers tried to reduce that, and DeWine vetoed that effort. So what businesses will close? And it lays all those out. We've heard most of that by now. Grocery stores, pharmacies can stay open. I wondered about gas stations and convenience stores. I don't read where it says, but, you know, the average UDF, if you're open till 11 or convenient or whatever. It will not affect you if you work third shift. Don't worry about that. Can you get takeout and delivery? Yes. Stopping in a bar for pickup orders is fine. Delivery orders as well. Can I take my dog on a walk? Yes. Can I bring my child to daycare? Yes. Can I take a relative to the airport? Yes. This is my favorite question that they took the time to answer. If I fell while walking my dog at night and think I broke my leg, can I go to the hospital? Yes. So the order will have exceptions for those seeking medical care. Yes, if you break your leg. If I found somebody broke their leg and said, yeah, but it was 5 after 10, I didn't know what to do. I waited till 6 o'clock in the morning with a broken leg. I'm assuming that, you know, somebody just dreamt these questions up and nobody actually asked them. Can I hang out at a friend's house? Yes, but you have to be home by 10 o'clock, says the governor. What about the casino? Casinos will not close under the order. They said it would be hard to justify an emergency visit to one, though. So I think if they see you going to the casino after 10, that's probably a no-no if you were stopped. If you're leaving the casino after 10, since it didn't have to close, I think it's rather implicit that you're allowed to be out after 10 if you went to a casino. And when I've been through the casino here, you know, and when I pass through there, it's usually in the afternoon. It's not that crowded to begin with. I don't know, COVID-wise, if more people are staying away from casinos, but it's a pretty roomy place. And that might be, from where I sit, one reason for it to be open. The other reason to be open is it's generating some money for the state. So does it affect Black Friday doorbusters? Yes. Retailers apparently are changing their hours for Black Friday, so you're not expected to be out there at 6 o'clock in the morning standing in line. Or 4 o'clock. I'm not sure how early they've been opening. Can my wedding reception extend past 10 p.m.? No. The curfew also applies to wedding venues, they said. By the way, the no dancing thing does not include the father-daughter or mother-son dance. The traditional dances are okay. It requires guests to remain seated during the reception and wear masks when not eating or drinking, just like in a restaurant. Last question. If I don't like this, can I protest it? I said the order, like the stay-at-home order, is expected to have exemptions for expression under the First Amendment, which grants you the right to peaceably assemble. So if you want to schedule an 11 p.m. demonstration, that's probably covered by the First Amendment. Your trip to pick up a six-pack probably would not be, if that place is open in the first place. Got it? Rules and regs. It is 117 right now, 700 WLW, and let's work in a call or two before we get to the pause. I'm hogging the show here. What is it, Jim in Milford?
What, you know, the one question about the person that broke their leg and is laying on the sidewalk after, yeah, you know, at 10:05, that's when the COVID monster shows up. I mean, the COVID monster is looking for damsels in distress. You know, the damsel that's tied to the railroad tracks at 10:05.
Right.
That's when the COVID monster, you know, this big, black, foggy monster looks like Godzilla. That's when it comes down the street, and that's when it gets
start screaming because of the broken leg, and people go looking out their window, and they're like, well, I can't go out and help them. It's 5 after 10.
Well, no, they don't want to go out on the street. The big COVID monster's out there.
Well, they can't go out anyway. It's 5 after 10. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, in fact, people. Let me tell you, the COVID monster. He sounds like that Godzilla that screams. You know, if you go YouTube Godzilla and that scream that monster makes, that's the same scream that the COVID monster makes. So,
all right. I got it. Thank you, Jim and Milford. Go ahead there. Larry, makes sense. What's up?
Yeah, Mike, I just got one real quick on about the dancing. Dwayne said that you could have still have their daughter dance, and that's normally a slow dance. So what are you supposed to do? Have your partner 6 feet away?
What did he say specifically? How did he word it?
He said that you could still have the normal father-daughter
dance. Right.
But what are you supposed to do? You supposed to stand 6 feet away from your partner?
I guess pick a different song. I don't know.
No, it's usually a slow dance, but you can't dance.
Right.
You have to be 6 feet apart, right?
I don't know that he said that about the dance.
Yeah, he just said that you can do the father-daughter dance.
Right, yeah. Just don't breathe. Just hold your breath.
Yeah.
You're fine.
But you got to stay 6 feet apart from your partner now before you dance.
I got you.
Okay, Mike.
All right, thank you, Larry. Thank you. Raphael, what's up?
What's up, Brother Mike?
Hey,
yeah, on that 6 feet, man, just do that, break into that jitterbug and 6 feet away.
That's all you need.
Hey, you know, but at that wedding in Blue Ash, I tell you, Mike, man, I know the bride is talking about on the dance floor where she thinks, but weddings I've gone to, man, pre-pandemic, I haven't been to any during a pandemic, but it's just a lot of greeting with hugs and embracing that goes on at weddings. Sometimes when people haven't seen each other for this certain amount of time, old friends. But if she says she glanced down and they were sitting and not wearing masks, man, I mean, it's quite possible that when people were greeting each other, they weren't wearing masks as well. And I know with certain events like that, and I'm not trying to disparage or lump too many females in a bucket, but I do know that a lot of females I've talked to, when they're going out to these events during the pandemic, and I asked them, I said, you masked up? They're like, no. Because if the female's going to put any type of makeup on her face,
right,
she's not covering it up with no mask. It's just not going to happen.
Well, you got lipstick all over the mask, too.
What do you say now?
You get lipstick all over the mask, too. You don't want that.
Well, true. Yeah. And, I mean, I was talking to a guy at work and for the Halloween, and he said they went out to a Halloween party. A bunch of friends got together. It was nice at some kind of bar or lounge. I said, anybody masked up? He says, nope. Now, he's a 20-something, right?
Right.
And I know that all the 20-somethings I've talked to, when they talk about going out to a bar, lounge, house party, this or that, get-together, wedding, no one's masked up. And that's what DeWine, I think, is getting at. And I'll be willing to bet the people at that wedding, they were at maybe a Halloween party, possibly, and they weren't masked up, and they could have came to the wedding party and just already infected.
Yeah, but my thing is, at the start of the school year, and every time somebody tested positive on a college campus, I thought you should just let them all get it. They don't get sick. They're not clogging the hospital. And when they go home for Thanksgiving, they can't get anybody else sick either because they're over it.
I
don't know why we shut that down and shut down the schools and remote learning. If the people who are in that age don't get sick, let it run right through them and they won't spread it anywhere else they go. I mean, right now they're saying it might be important to vaccinate them first because they're the most likely to get it and spread it. Well, if we just let them get it in the first place, this wouldn't be an issue. But we stopped it. It made no sense.
Yeah.
No sense. Raphael,
no, I see you.
It's good to hear from you. I got to run. You bet. Thanks. See you. Right back, 122.
There's a lot going on these days.
You've probably got strong feelings about it all.
It's time to talk about it.
Time for a little chat with Eddie and Rocky.
No yelling, screaming, or finger pointing.
There you know. Let's just open it up, and whatever you want to complain about, you can complain about. Want to do that? About an hour from now, we're going to have the latest on the Brent Spence Bridge, an update from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, and see what's new there, because it's gumming up the works. Working Lisa real quick, don't have a lot of time. Lisa, yeah, what's up?
I have a friend whose son goes to one of the Catholic high schools, one of the big ones, and they are required to wear a mask, and they have separations between the desks, you know, the protective whatever it is. But he sat next to a kid that was tested positive in one of his classes for COVID. Now he has to stay home and quarantine for 14 days. So what's the point of the mask and the separation?
Well, I don't know exactly whether he contracted it while sitting separated with the mask on. I don't know when he contracted it, but it's there are no guarantees that a mask and plexiglass are going to stop you from getting it. And tell you what, you're lying.
Exactly. So, I mean, we're putting all this money and effort into it, and the science doesn't even prove that it's right. Also, I have a friend
of mine.
Well,
the science says it's not guaranteed. Is it a good idea? Is it better than nothing? If the answer is better than nothing, that's why they make you do it.
Yeah. Well, and then the numbers. So I have a friend who's a doctor, and when they call with COVID, a lot of people are going to urgent care to get tested, but then don't believe that test, and then they go to the, you know, to him to get tested. So is that counted as two tests? And so does that raise the numbers?
I don't know. I'm not in charge of counting it. So.
Yes.
All right, Lisa, stay healthy. Excellent questions. I don't have answers to. But it makes it news time. 1:30 right now, you got 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
It is not getting better locally yet.
Oh, my God.
Hello, hello, hello. Seg, how in the world are you?
Mikey, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Here we have some fisticuffs.
Yeah, we got some action going on.
In the NFL.
Not here, though.
Right. No.
Not in the Queen City.
You can lose your job. That's why I come up short of kicking people's butts around here. Because that could happen.
I know. I've seen it before. That you've been close to duking it out with a couple of other morning heavyweights.
It's just morning. I mean, Rocky.
Right.
Lapham.
Yeah.
The group I usually take on.
Well, Brian Thomas, too. I mean, he yelled at him the other day, so.
He's not big enough. I take the
Chuck,
big guys out. Take the big guys.
Chuck wasn't on time for a traffic report, and you went down there and confronted him.
His lip a little bloody. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He won't do that again.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, this is the Giants. What happened to Giants?
Mikey, the Stooge Report is a proud service of your local Tempstar Heating and Air Conditioning dealers. Tempstar, quality you can feel in southeastern Indiana. Call Joe Eckstein at Eckstein Heating and Cooling at 812-932-2026.
Right.
Yeah, the story is today, Mikey, that there is Jason McIntyre, who covers the Giants, says that New York Giants coaches Joe Judge and Mark Colombo got into a fist fight this morning.
You don't say.
Joe Judge is the head coach, Mark Colombo the offensive coordinator. Punch is thrown. He says that Colombo got the better of the head coach, and the head coach says, "You're fired." So there you go.
You're gone.
If you're going to fight the head coach, lose and say you're sorry.
What if that's like in his contract? You know,
I don't know. They brought a new guy in.
No punching the head coach. We only get paid. He's
maybe
on the contract
so.
For two
yeah,
more years.
That's true.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are going to place their entire coaching staff in an isolated bubble now at the Omni Hotel near their practice facility and headquarters. So that'll be the next. Well. The Bengals coach is what they had four or five out last Sunday against Pittsburgh.
You're right.
And I guess probably later on this week they hope to get a few back, but we'll wait and see.
Well, that's what went wrong in that game, quite obviously.
That's true. And speaking of that game, I wonder if Big Ben Roethlisberger is going to call the Bengals and say thanks. He's the offensive coordinator or the offensive player of the week in the NFL. So I'm sure Big Ben has probably called the Bengals main office and said, thanks.
Send the defense his own game ball.
Here's my award. Thanks, buddies. Let's see what else. Hot Stove League tonight.
Yeah.
Can't forget that. 6 to 7 right here in the studio. Tommy Thrall and Jim Day will be here. And they will be joined by Reds.com beat writer Mark Sheldon, who will be announcing the 2020 Reds Team Awards. MVP, Most Outstanding Player, and the Good Guy Award.
That's fantastic.
Then Trevor Bauer and Amir Garrett will be on tonight, 6 to 7. And he tweeted this out this morning of a picture of himself. Dr. Tim Kremchek of Beacon Orthopedics, San Diego Padres right-hander Mike Clevenger. And the doc were with a picture on Twitter.
Wow.
Clevenger in town today to undergo Tommy John surgery at Beacon Orthopedics.
Well, we wish him the best.
So there you go. The doc does it again.
Yes, he does. That man's a saint.
Tell you, he's something else. He's something. Don't be throwing punches at him.
He's pretty big.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'll take down the tall trees.
Yeah.
Give me a Roethlisberger type. Come on.
You think you can take him on? You took on Lapham and Larocque.
After I'm done with those two?
I mean,
they
haven't been talking to you lately, have they?
Give me a five-minute breather. I'm ready for them. All right. What else is going on? Is that it?
That's it.
In the world of sports?
That's it.
All right. Get us out of here.
Mikey, in honor of a beautiful day here in the Tri-State on this Wednesday, and don't fight your boss.
No.
We leave you with the immortal words of the Stooge Report.
Yes.
What?
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Wash your hands.
That one ran for a while.
Do that
it?
Too.
Wash your hands. All right, Seg, thank you very much, sir.
Time yes, sir, is Mikey.
1:42.
See you in the morning.
That's a deal, bright and early.
Yeah.
5:40, we'll reconvene. All right. See, the people hung up on me here. People were more upset about the no dancing than I thought they would be. We had two people standing by to complain about the lack of dancing. Yeah, people are looking for reasons to complain about DeWine. When's the last time you actually danced? When's the last time I danced? In a public place. I mean, I dance by myself all the time. Come on. I mean, it's not like I... Probably at a wedding, probably. I don't remember the last wedding I went to, so it's been a while. No dancing! That DeWine. When I get my hands on that DeWine, he won't let us dance. Then somebody else called and said this couple with the big... wedding in Blue Ash are fake because he couldn't find them on social media. Well, the story was on Channel 5. Go to their website and watch the story. Then it was picked up by the Daily Mail, which is where I saw it. But no, we have to assume they're out there. Obviously, once that happened, the governor said, no dancing. That had to be the reason why. Anyway, what's this email? So because of one event in Blue Ash, we overgeneralized that all dancing at weddings causes COVID-19 to spread. Plus, that couple concluded it was dancing that caused the spread. But that's not conclusive. It could have been through hugs, shaking hands, or other close contact. I agree. It could be. But the dancing thing, and the one that gets me, the no loud music was another one. No loud music. Why? Because you're going to talk loudly over the music and probably spray your spittle. That'd be the reason why. If the music is really cranked, you have to yell. And we know that that does spread it. That's why they got rid of the May Festival chorus back in May. Well, probably got rid of it in April. Because people standing together and singing, it happened to a choir somewhere. Like 14 of 15 of them were sick after one or two choir practices. Because when you're belting it out like that, you're breathing out to the degree that you are, it spreads. So that's why the choirs have gone by the wayside. For now. And also the yelling over loud music would fit probably the same general description of why you can't do it. But the dancing. I'll get by okay without dancing. I'm going to be all right. We also have profiteering out there during these COVID times. Retailers and suppliers are facing a blizzard of lawsuits and enforcement actions over accusations of profiteering. As industry data show, average prices of a range of household goods have risen sharply during the pandemic. They brought hundreds of actions across the country, authorities have, after claims of price gouging on products including face masks, disinfectant, and toilet paper. Let's see, New York City alone put 3,000 retail outlets on notice. It is believed they were gouging prices. Then I read through this. It says, follow me on this. The price increases do not necessarily breach gouging rules, which vary from state to state, but typically prohibit companies from increasing prices beyond a certain threshold during or after an emergency has been declared. It may be totally justified based on the difficulty of doing business at this time. I think a lot of it has to do with, they say, the fact that no promotions were held. Well, you didn't have to promote toilet paper back in February and March. They're comparing it to a year before and how much toilet paper cost. And the year before, Charmin and the others, Angel Soft, Scott Tissue, I guess they were having promotions to get you to try their toilet paper. Where during the pandemic, they didn't need that to get you to buy their toilet paper. So part of the claim here, they're calling it gouging, but it has to do a lot with the fact that there weren't any promotions. So how much gouging actually took place remains to be seen. Meanwhile, who's got what here on the election? Howard, what's going on?
Hey, yes. I got a comment or a question, if you will.
Sure.
On the election, back in the election, when Biden was deciding who his running mate was going to be, it was my understanding that the black community basically told him if he did not pick a black woman as his running mate, that he wasn't going to get their vote.
I don't know that they told him that. I know he offered that. And initially, I think he said woman. Initially, he said his running mate would be a woman. Then later on, woman of color came up, and it pretty much all pointed to Kamala. It was either Kamala Harris or break that pledge is what it came down to. But first, he promised a woman. I forget at what point the woman of color came into the mix.
Yeah, well, what I got out of it was if he didn't appoint a black woman as his running mate, that he wasn't going to get their vote, period.
There's a certain percentage of people probably voted for him because he selected Kamala Harris, and they maybe not have voted for him otherwise, but it's not like no black voter would have voted for him had he not selected Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I agree with that. Not all black vote, would vote for him, but
overwhelmingly, the black vote goes to the Democrat, so it's not going to change that many minds.
I'm not so sure, because if I was a white candidate running and I was told I had to pick a white running mate as my mate,
he wasn't told he had to. It's an offer that he made.
Okay.
Now, right now, you have demands being made. Black Lives Matter wants Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, that the governor names the replacement for a senator. Now that Kamala Harris is VP, her Senate seat is open. Black Lives Matter in California is insisting that Newsom appoint a black woman to replace Kamala Harris. So those demands are being made now. They weren't really demands back on Biden back then. There are demands going on now in California.
Do you think that's fair democracy by doing that?
They can make any demands they want. It's up to him to decide which ones he's going to acquiesce to. So,
but if he carries it out and goes through with it, how's that look?
Well, he has designs on being president someday, and if it's a feather in his cap as a Democrat, and he is, to say I selected a woman of color to replace Kamala Harris, then it counts as a positive for other Democrats. Republicans might say that was ridiculous.
And that's what I say, too. It's ridiculous. Yeah. The whole thing's ridiculous, in my opinion.
All right, Howard. Got you. I'll thank you. It's almost 10 away from 2. McConnell in for Willie. 700 WLW.
Working from home, the kids learning at home, the face masks and the social distancing, no movies, no shows, takeout dinners only.
I'll see you for a few minutes. They try to get people to adopt a family for Christmas this time of year, which means you do nice things for them for Christmas. We're doing that because I think Bethany House does a great job promoting independence, getting people back on their feet. Typically, it's mothers and kids, and they've had a lot of success that way. So a way you could pitch in, perhaps. We'll get to it after news at 2, meanwhile. Meanwhile, who wants what? We've got the dueling topics going on here. And on ammunition, price gouging on ammunition. Gary, what's up?
Yeah, Mike, I just wanted to tell you, now that the the sale of guns have escalated beyond belief,
Yep.
And normally I buy ammo for my Glock, and it's only about $14 when I bought it,
Yeah.
And now it's up to almost, $45.99 for a box of 50.
Really? Okay. When's the last time you paid 14?
Earlier this year, before the right before the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to supply and demand, but that shouldn't be that much of a crimp on supply and demand. I mean,
well, what they're doing is they're allowing only one box of ammo per customer.
Right.
And I was at that gun show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe the guys carrying out boxes of ammo. I mean, crates. They were selling as much as you wanted. And then I saw a lot of guys walking out of there with AR-15s too. So I don't know what the story's going to be, but
it's like, you know, something happens in the Gulf and it crimps the gas refinery, you know. All of a sudden, the cost of gasoline goes up because of supply and demand. Supply and demand runs it. You know, there are reasons as to why the price goes up and down, but it shouldn't be up that high for ammo. I mean, people bought a lot of guns this year, but I'm sure it's not 5% of what they already had. So that should cause prices to go up, but they certainly shouldn't triple.
Well, no, because I bought a couple boxes of my, you know, ammo I needed at the gun show.
Right.
It was reasonably priced, and you could buy as much as you wanted.
Well, I would bring that up the next time I went to my former gun dealer.
Now you am.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
gotcha.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Good luck. See you. Charlie, what's up?
I just don't understand why everybody keeps getting so surprised about the reaction to coronavirus and why everybody's so upset with the governor. Like, does any of this surprise you at all? Like, when the numbers go up, don't you assume that he's going to maybe take an action?
Yeah. Yeah, he is, not? And every governor in the country is going to, yeah.
Does it surprise you at all when that happens?
No, you can pretty much guess it's coming, yes.
Right. I can't believe he's closing the bars. Like, I mean, of course. What else can he do?
You have a percentage of people who don't want to be told what to do. And that's fine. That personality type serves a purpose. But when something like this happens, they feel like they're getting jerked around constantly. It's just... To me, I mean, it's not a big deal. Now, I managed to keep my job. I mean, if you're somebody who lost your job because of these impositions, you have a reason to complain about impositions. You know?
Agreed. And I was listening earlier today, and somebody was talking about it's kind of bullcrap that, you know, certain things have been deemed essential and certain things have been deemed non-essential. All work, to me, is essential, and I can see that perspective. But, I mean, we're all just trying to get through this pandemic. I just don't understand why people are, like, shocked or, like, blindsided when this stuff comes out. It's like, as soon as the numbers went crazy, who didn't know that this was coming? Who didn't know a curfew was coming?
Because like I said at the top of the show, many weren't listening at the time. What would you do if you were the governor and you had no more background in pandemics than the governor does, and that's true, and this came along and your job was to not allow the healthcare system to be overwhelmed, what would you do differently than governors in every state have done so far? And if you don't have an answer, shut up.
Agreed. And I think that Governor DeWine is being as fair as he can be, considering the circumstances. He doesn't have a vaccine. So it's a pandemic.
Well, I think his press conferences go too long. I'll say that. There's a lot of fluff in there. Let's get to the point, man.
I totally agree. And I think a lot of people, I heard people referring to him as Daddy DeWine. Have you heard that?
I've heard plenty of them.
I thought that was pretty good. And I think he's just trying to be calm. And I agree with you. You know, it's like, hey, this is your job. Let us know the facts. And move on. But I'm not surprised by any of it. And I'm not going to hold him. It's like when Bush was president and 9/11 happened. It's like, hey man, I was governor. It happened. This is how the best I can do to deal with this. And we're going off of everything we've known, every little piece of evidence we can find. This is the best we can do right now.
And it's not just what other governors are doing. It's what every country in the world is doing to put a lid on it. You know, it's obviously certain things have to be done to keep it from getting way, way out of hand. So, well, Donnie, got to run.
All right. Out of time. Well, thank you.
Charlie, thank you. Don't be a stranger. All right, it's coming up on news time. It is 2:00 in the afternoon. About a half hour, we'll have someone from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet giving us an update on the Spence and where things stand. Right now, News Time, News Radio, 700 WLWU.
News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Encouraging vigilance as...
...here at 2:30 from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. In the meantime, other things to get to, I want to spend a couple minutes here with Mr. Gage Woolley, who's the communications guy, I'll say, for Bethany House. It's a group I think does a fantastic job at what they do. They do God's work, and happy to help out in any way I can, and maybe you could too. First of all, Gage, good to have you back. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Thanks, Mike. I'm used to talking in the morning. It's a little weird to, you know, have you on in the afternoon.
Weird for me, too. It's weird. All right. The idea here is that you use people to adopt a family, and I assume this is ongoing every holiday season, correct?
Absolutely. So we're looking for folks who don't know, Bethany House is a family homeless shelter in the city of Cincinnati. We're the largest family homeless shelter, and we are looking for sponsors to adopt the families.
Right.
So, yep, our families fill out a form of their interest, and then if you have an interest, you fill out a form, and then we then match you with those families and send you what they were hoping for the holidays.
So typically it's a mother and a couple of kids, right, typically?
Yeah, typically we are a single mother and their children homeless shelter. We do have some dual parent households as well, but it's usually going to be about one mom and two of their children, sometimes three or four. It just depends. We have even some larger families with dual parents with, you know, 9 or 10 kids. We've had it happen.
Yeah, well, last year I guess 300 families were adopted, right?
Yes, and we are looking to hit just as many this year. We probably have about 200 families sponsored right now, so we need more sponsors for sure. We also have other volunteer opportunities, too, if sponsoring a family is not up your alley.
And typically they're filling out a form. They're looking for typical Christmas gifts, like maybe mom wants some clothes and maybe kids want some toys.
Yeah, that you nailed it there. So I've been looking at some of the forums, and a lot of the responses have been, you know, the most basic needs that, you know, nobody's asking for a PS4 or anything. They're asking for shoes or clothes or toys or things that they're going to want that they probably often haven't got. Most families that come into Bethany House come in what they can carry in their car or what they can carry over their back in garbage bags. So.
Yeah. And I touched on it before, but what you do is you kind of try to put people in the direction of being independent. You know, the kids are going to school. Mom's either looking for work or training for work or something. And eventually they're on their own 2 feet, and you give them the staples to get them started out the door, whether that's plates, laundry detergent, and a place to live, and they become a functioning family again. That's the whole idea behind Bethany House.
Absolutely. You pretty much nailed it there in that front. And, you know, one of the ways, you know, outside of adopting a family you can help, and I think you kind of nailed it a little bit, was our Bethany House basics. These are items that most families, you know, you would consider basic. These are things, you know, bed sheets, shower curtains, some of your most basic kitchen items, cleaning supplies that our families just don't have. So if those are something, things that you would like to donate to a family. We take new items during the times of COVID-19, unfortunately. Those things would go to a family who would be moving into their new homes, and it's something that we give from you to them. So,
yeah, certain things, it's automatic to you. I mean, you go fill the kitchen drawers with the stuff you have, but they don't have that stuff. So it's all the most basic things you can think of are things Bethany House can use. So,
absolutely.
All right, somebody wants to adopt a family. Where do they go? How do they do that?
So if you wanted to adopt a family, you go to BethanyHouseServices.org. Right on our front page, there's going to be a spot that says Adopt a Family. We have the forms that you can click, and then also just a sponsorship 101 form if you have any questions. So that should label out anything and everything. But if you do have some other questions, you can easily give us a call at 513-557-2411. That's actually my direct line. So if you called me, it comes straight to me. So don't call right now, but call in, you know, about 10 minutes, 513-557-2411 if you wanted to help out.
All right. A couple of the things you have going on you could also use some volunteers for. One is to help sort holiday gifts.
Yeah, so if you decided you didn't want to adopt a family, we still need volunteers to help us sort those gifts that all these families are bringing. We, like I mentioned, have hundreds of sponsors, so over a week-long period, we're seeking folks to come out and actually just help us sort those things, organize them, make sure when the families come or when the staff members come to drop those things off to our family, they can easily grab them and go during the holidays.
And your shelters are only so big, so sometimes you have to put people in hotels or motels. And a number of them are at a hotel in Sharonville, and this would be about trying to feed families, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have an opportunity where you can actually provide dinners to our family staying at the hotel. Because of coronavirus, our two main communal shelters, the one in Bond Hill and Fairmount, have been essentially closed down and made, we've moved all those families into a hotel up in Sharonville. So those are the families you'd be providing food for. I can give, you know, if you are interested, you can also call that same number before, 513-557-2411, and I can give you all the details, such as dates that are available in different ways. If you can't provide a meal, maybe you can provide snacks or cookies or something like that for the families, because a lot of folks love doing that as well.
All right, but then online, the easiest place to find you is BethanyHouseServices.org, correct?
Yep, that is right, BethanyHouseServices.org.
And all this info is there. All right.
Right there on that front page.
All right, Gage Woolley, I got to run, but I appreciate the hard work you do, and hopefully we get to, some families adopted for Christmas here in time. Kids like toys.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike, for having us on, and thanks for everyone who, you know, really supports Bethany House. We really do appreciate it.
All righty. Thanks, Gage. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
You bet. Adios. All right, 214 right now, 214 at 700 WLW. Paul here has been sitting and standing by for, I don't know, better part of a half hour, I'd bet. Paul in New Richmond wants to talk about dancing at weddings.
No, sir, that's incorrect. What I'm calling about on this wedding subject, I went to a wedding down in Nashville 4 weeks ago, beautiful outdoor affair. We went inside to the reception. Everybody was required to wear masks, and when we were going into the outside reception, we were all temporarily scanned. Now, there were 250 people and probably, you know, 30 people, you know, waiting tables and whatnot, and on the internet, nobody got sick. Absolutely nobody. The problem I got is this supercell COVID thing in Blue Ash. Were they temporarily scanned? Did they not have people telling them, if you don't have a mask on, you have to leave? Because this wedding did have that. If you did not have a mask on, they said you have to go outside or you have to leave. And then,
the original story is that the bride said, walking down the aisle, she looked around and noticed people were not wearing masks. So I would say they did not take the recommended precautions.
I don't believe any wife walking up an aisle at a wedding, a woman getting married, is looking around thinking about COVID. That's my honest-to-God opinion.
The thing about COVID is if you pictured walking down the aisle and everybody having a mask on, and you're walking down the aisle and they don't, you would notice that.
I don't think so. She's got her father on her arm, and this is the day of her life, and I doubt if COVID's even on her mind, but let's not worry about that.
Well, you're also standing up front for a long time, getting married. You're walking back down the aisle. There's plenty of the people are waving to you, smiling at you. You would notice if they were not wearing masks, if you had anticipated that they would.
I think somebody married the wrong woman.
Well, they both noticed. It was both sides of the family, I gather, that were not masked up for the wedding.
Yeah, but were they temporarily scanned? That's the critical
thing. I would doubt it. If they're not wearing masks, I doubt they were temporarily scanned.
Right. It was an improper wedding reception. It wasn't policed by the people that they rented the hall from. There's the ones you want to go after.
Well, that's pretty much what the governor is trying to say.
I understand. Hey, thank you for your time, sir.
You bet. See you later. See you later. I don't know that anybody is temporarily scanning people at weddings. I mean, maybe they are. Maybe they are. I don't know. All right, off the subject, quick question. Anybody out there 46 years old? Is anybody 46 years old? They have polled the average human being, and it turns out the first time you feel old is at 47. The clock is ticking. Obviously, it's an average, but, you know, age, I think it's, age really is a state of mind for a lot of people. I know people who acted like they were 65 when they were 35. And other people who are 65 who act like they're 25. But it turns out the average American starts feeling old at the age of 47. In all, 65% say growing old in general is among their top fears, which is nuts because it's happening to you every second, but it's a top fear. When asked about specifics, nearly half said they're mostly concerned about the mental declines that often come with old age. On a related note, 64% said that their thinking abilities won't last as long as their physical health. Surprisingly, most participants are not as concerned about losing their youthful looks. Only 1 in 4 are concerned about looking unattractive in old age. 1 in 4 worry they'll lose touch with what's hip and cool once they're elderly. I got news for you. You lose touch with that way before. When do you lose touch with what's hip and cool? In my experience, you lose touch with what's hip and cool the day your kids move out. Because you were hip and cool at one point. Then you had some kids, and eventually they got old enough to listen to what they wanted to listen to and watch what they want to watch, and you knew what was hip and cool the whole time they were growing up. But as soon as they leave, that's the end of you having any idea what's hip and cool. I would say within 4 years of your last kid leaving the house, you could look at the Billboard Hot 100 and not recognize a single song. I mean, I know everything my daughter listened to growing up. And once she was gone, no, not really. For me, it pretty much ended in, you know, the early 2000s. But anyway, the survey showed 56% of adults, Americans, worry about their brain health on a regular basis. 25% lose their train of thought once a day. 20% lose track of their thoughts multiple times a day. Over half frequently forget people's names moments after meeting them. I mean, that's stuff that happens at any age. I guarantee you that happened to me when I was 16. 30% need a few moments to remember their significant other's birthday. I don't think that's happened to me, but all in all, there you go. 47 is when most people decide that's when they begin to feel old. And there ain't a thing you can do about it. All right, time is 2:20. Got a pause in here, back, and got some odds and ends we'll get to before we get our update on the Spence. 700-WLW.
There are big issues to handle.
I've got my opinions, Eddie has his, and you have yours.
Eddie and Rocky, they're here for you.
It's time to talk about it.
Come on, be a part.
That are about a month old. But how the rest of the world, well, the Asian countries in particular, managed to put a lid on all this by clamping down early on, shutting things down. Says we have the surges going on here. We have it going on in Europe and elsewhere. Says for months now, life across Asia, where the virus first emerged, has mostly returned to normal. This from the Wall Street Journal, October 20th. With infections at low levels, bars and restaurants are bustling, subway trains are packed, live concerts and spectator sports have all resumed. The number as of October 20, with China, Japan, South Korea, Singapore, and Hong Kong combined, have been recording 1,000 cases a day since September. The U.S., back on October 20th, had 56,000 cases a day. They had 1,000, all those countries combined. About a third of the world's population resides in East Asia, but the densely populated region accounts for less than a fifth of the COVID-19 deaths around the world. And they do it differently. They do things that we'd never put up with here. If they have somebody test positive, they find out where's the last place, you know, you went out to dinner. What store did you go to? And they'll go through your credit card records, and you were at Target. Okay, what time? 4 o'clock, all right? They go through other credit cards, go to Target, and find out who else was in the store at the same time you were, and they tell all those people to quarantine, or at least anybody you may have come in contact with. In a restaurant, yeah, they'll go through that restaurant's receipts, and as best they can, unless they pay cash, find the people who were in the restaurant the same time as you, and quarantine them. Not the kind of thing we'd put up with, but they make the point. If you get control of the virus, you get 95% of your life back. The more successful handling of the pandemic in Asia yielded better economic performances. International Monetary Fund says China's economy will grow by 1.9% this year. The U.S. will shrink by 4.3%. Eurozone forecast to contract by 8.3%. Then again, we're more independent spirits, and we don't put up with the sorts of things, the sort of tracking and tracing they do there, which I think is one reason we don't have more contact tracing in this country. People would be appalled by what actually happens when they trace your contacts. Mike was standing by with a comment on the state of the media. Which media, Mike? What do you got?
Mike McConnell, the voice of reason. I really wanted your opinion on this because now that the election's over, if anything, I think that since Trump has been president, and this isn't a call to defend Trump by any stretch of the imagination, but if anything, the mask has been jerked off of the major media, legacy media, however you want to define them or whatever, on the fact that they are just so blatantly, unapologetically objective. And I'm just curious, how is that fixed moving forward now that Trump is not the president? you know, because, again, you know, I know the whole Fox News thing, and you know, and of course, everybody refers to them as state media, which I think is lazy on the major media's part. That's such a go-to cliche anymore. It's a talking point.
I think the biggest problem with the state of the media is they seem to get the impression that because Trump lies, they should get to lie too, especially lying about Trump. And, you know, he will be gone from office, and they will still be lying. They're not going to dial it back just because somebody else is in the Oval Office. They'll lie about other things because they've gotten away with it and never get called on it.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. How is that fixed moving forward? Because, like, from my standpoint, and again, I'm not a rabid Trump supporter. I voted for him, but I'm not a Trump supporter. I think he's an idiot. I think he needs to, you know, learn how to speak. But nonetheless, I'm with you. Moving forward, they've caused me, you know, Rush Limbaugh is who he is. He says who he is. He's a conservative. He's a right-leaning. But for Chuck Todd to tell me that he's a middle-of-the-road journalist, that's laughable.
That's a joke.
Well, sure it is. And so my point is how is that fixed moving forward? I see it as a growing train wreck that's going to get worse and worse and worse because, again, do you think they're going to hold Biden's feet to the fire like they did Trump? Of course not. You know,
well, we just have to wait and see if those on the right get to be just as bad, because sometimes they are. I mean, anything somebody does in politics, somebody stands up and goes, that's the threat to democracy. No, it's not. Sit down. And both sides throw that out. That's a threat. It's the end of democracy. It is not. Yeah. Sit down.
I get tired of that, too. I'm with you on that. And it parlays into all areas of our life. You know, like, for instance, now, if you question anything, I think DeWine's a good guy. I think he's trying to help people in the state and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, if I question some edict that he puts out, that doesn't mean that I'm a science denier or that I'm a hater or that. And it drives me crazy. We live in such a time right now when there is no middle of the road.
I'm going to have to run. But, yeah, and when he comes out with a new one, someone will say it's a threat to democracy. Wait.
That drives me nuts.
That's my least favorite. We got to do some news. Michael, thank you. See you later. Newstime, News Radio 700 WLWU.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Finalizing plans to distribute.
Where's the bridge? Time is 2:38. Mike McConnell for Willie. He'll be back on Monday. Jack Crumley works his way into the studio. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, technical difficulties. We are it's a magical technological world that we live in. We are monitoring the update. We will have some more coming in news. I don't think that I'm not aware of any sort of announcement of a change in the reopening plan date of December 23rd. The chairman of the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet right now is talking about where they're at in the repair process. They're having these new stringer beams
are coming in.
Yes, they're being brought in, and he's talking about just sort of where they're at. I don't think there's any radical changes based on what we knew before.
Well, where are they? We need to know where the beams are, Jack.
I'm sure they're either on a truck, or maybe they're in a part of the closed bridge at this point. I'm not sure.
Wow. Because we could watch the beam go through town if we knew it was coming.
I mean, that would be quite a sight.
That'd be something, huh?
So, give people something to look forward to in these days.
Yeah. So what else is it going to talk about?
That's all. We are monitoring it as we speak, but just having a hard time making it live.
And typically, you hold a press conference, and it's something different.
I mean, yeah, I'm getting the vibe that this is just sort of a regular, here's an update, here's where we're at kind of thing, which isn't all that earth-shattering. It's either open or it's not.
And it's not.
And it's not.
December 23rd is what it looks like.
But the good news is we are planning on still having Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. We have not had the same technical issues with his news briefings.
We'll
have him at 4 o'clock.
That works. All right, Jack Crumley, you're the man. We thank you, sir. All right, coming up on 2:40. I got this email the other day. Let's throw this out there. Well, I'm throwing somebody else's idea out there as an idea. It says, hey, Mike, I enjoy your morning show. I pretty much keep my radio fixed at WLW all the time. That said, I'm kind of surprised the station doesn't have some sort of an online store where fans of the station like myself could get coffee mugs, shirts, hats, etc. to show our love for the station. Surely someone with your clout can help with this. Thanks for providing a quality morning show. Keep up the great work, says Matt. I agree. Why don't we have that stuff? We want to see who sells the most hats and shirts. Nice morning show hat. Well, maybe a sun on there or something. Well, if iHeart doesn't want to do it, maybe I could do it. Make our stuff, make some mugs, sell them online. I have an LW coffee mug at home. I've had it for 10 years. It's a nice mug. It doesn't fade. It's a quality mug. I sip from it from time to time. I will run this up the old flagpole and see who salutes, kind of an idea. We'll all find out. But it's a good idea, Matt. I don't know why we haven't done that. All right, so what do we have? People standing by on things that are on their mind. Let's do that, since our transportation cabinet man is not going to be around. 513-749-7000 or 800, the big one. Off to Bell Fountain we go. What do you got there, John? What's up?
Hey, Mike. Great coverage today on your show. Three things, really. I'm interested in the bridge. I used to do that kind of work.
I'm interested, too.
Yeah, I used to do that work. You know, sometimes they need to do stuff for the beams. The material going on the bridge, it has to have certain specs.
Right.
There can be delays because of that stuff. Can't just pull stuff off the rack. But on the idea that I always love the idea, the big one. I always think of 700 as the big one. I've listened to you guys for 30 years. I'm from the Cleveland area originally. And I came down here. I always like to listen to you guys. But that's a great idea. I like the big one, 700 or whatever.
The big one. We could sell big ones.
Darn right, yeah. Listen, on the presidential thing, obviously I'm a Trump supporter because I like good government. I like somebody that gets things done.
All right.
What I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you have a background in law or probably know people that are lawyers. It fascinates me when they talk about it. Article 2 of the Constitution is pretty clear. Only the legislature of a state, regarding Pennsylvania is what I'm talking about, only the legislature of a state can alter the election. And this was obviously not done by the judge. To me, that's a laydown. What do you think, Mike?
Well, it would seem that way to me. What was the difference in days? How much extra time did they give the mailed-in ballots?
3 days is what I understand.
Yeah.
3 days after. But obviously it was ridiculous the way they just stopped the count. And all that other stuff. Okay, well,
I don't know what Pennsylvania's Constitution says.
Right.
And
right.
I'm not sure why, and that since the states run their own elections, I'm not sure why a Constitution, an article of the Constitution, would even be in there to override the will of the states. Because back then, I mean, the states were the states. It was, you know, a very loose confederation of people. I mean, you were an Ohioan, well, didn't even have the Ohio that time of the Constitution, but you were a Pennsylvanian, or you were a Marylander, you were a Virginian first, and an American citizen, I mean, in your thought process. People were more attached to their state than they were the country.
Good point. I get you on that. Yeah, that's a good point. I guess what I figure if it gets to the Supreme Court is what I'm thinking. Okay, yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about it like that. That's right. That's the way it used to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's because you lived in a colony known as Pennsylvania or New York. Your grandparents grew up, and all of a sudden somebody says, well, we're going to tie together with these other colonies and call ourselves this. Well, your affinity, your identity is still going to be to your state, and that's what they had to try to weave together back then. So
that's right, and that's happening now, too, because the governor of Ohio is now putting out these rules, too, like the California whatsoever, whether you agree with it or not. It does seem like exactly what you're saying. The states are taking over their own people. I get you. That's a good point, Mike. Thank you for your input.
Well, like I said, I don't know what Pennsylvania's Constitution, how it reads, but I'd be curious to find out. So, all right, John, good to talk to you. Don't be a stranger.
You too. God bless you.
All right, adios. You bet. Yeah, Tim and Mason, what's up?
Hey, Mike, good to hear you on again this week, and happy holidays to you. I hope you have a safe trip back to Philly.
That's the plan. Thank you.
Is it too early to put in the request for the Christmas story?
Yes, yes. Yes. Matter of fact, it is.
And as for your, two more quick things. Maybe you could have a Dick from Dayton coffee mug. That might really boost up the sales there on your coffee mug. He could sell that in every market that he calls.
You're right. Have that caricature drawing of him on the side. I think that could be big.
with his little Lowe's hat on and his banjo or whatever he plays. Hey, you were asking yesterday about people that were saying, you know, if Donald Trump says take the vaccine, they're not going to take it. And you weren't sure who was some of the people that said that. Actually, Kamala Harris, or however you pronounce her name.
I knew she said it, but I...
Yeah, she said it during the VP debate.
Cuomo said that any vaccine that came from the Trump administration, that they would have their own experts verify to be safe. He didn't say he wouldn't take it. They were just going to, you know, make sure it's up to New York standards, Mr. Pfizer. So
Well, Harris's comment was, if Donald Trump tells us we should take it, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah. With the Cuomo thing, that's when Trump said, well, if New York's not ready to take it, we won't ship them any.
That sounds pretty Trump-esque of him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was his comeback. So
thanks, Mike.
You bet.
Have a safe trip.
Take care. See ya. Yeah, last year, I think we found a recorded version of the Christmas story, which that's news to you. It's something that happened years and years ago as part of a topic and took on a life of its own, and I've kind of told it each year. It was a better story years ago when I was still bitter about one particular miserable Christmas. Now I'm at the point where it's funny. So, but anyway, we found a recorded version. In fact, a listener sent that in last year, and I hope we still have that, because a bunch of us got together and then for Christmas morning put together this thing with some of our favorite and least favorite Christmas music. Least favorite, I think it was. But the whole staff, we all sat around this room here. We put it together. We said, you know, that's pretty good. That can run for years. That's a once-a-year thing, kind of like the Christmas story. And then we got an email, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, saying that they lost it. Everybody has to come back and do it again. I think it was 2 hours long. And, yeah, it could have run for years. Meanwhile, I have sun glare on my screen. That never happens my time of the day. Steve in Farmersville. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Mike. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I would describe, before I tell you or ask you what I want to ask you, put forth is I'm a very conservative Republican who couldn't hold his nose for Trump. I just couldn't. He was not my guy at all.
All right.
And, one of the things that occurred to me as I listened to all the back and forth about the counts and the possible improprieties that are going on, and then this meltdown that seems to be going on inside the Oval Office with firing and everything else. If the Democrats or anybody of people that were so skilled to do all this maneuvering across all these state lines to cheat to this degree as being purported by Trump, why didn't they go ahead and stack the House of Representatives and the Senators?
They didn't think of it.
Oh, is that what it was?
They forgot.
They forgot.
They're supposed to tie a string around their fingers, and they remembered to throw the whole thing. They forgot.
That must have been it.
That's it.
Damn it.
In a nutshell, now we know. The world, easily explained by the phrase, I forgot.
That must have been it.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I endorsed that the wife and I listened to your Christmas story about your college days and that little panoply of songs, and we laughed ourselves to death.
Well,
Very good.
It'll be redone this year.
Looking forward to it, buddy.
Have a good day. You bet. See you. Go ahead, Steve. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
You are.
Yeah, I listen to you every day, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I told your screener there, when I started looking old, I'm 65. When I started feeling old, whenever I look around and everybody's younger than me, I'm young in my heart and in my head, but when I look around and everybody's younger than me.
There was one point where college kids looked younger, but when they start looking like babies, you're like, that kid's not old enough to be in college. Or you're watching a college game and they pan the cheerleaders. They look like they should be in eighth grade.
Yeah, well, they're grandkids is what they could be, Mike.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, at a certain point, it's not that I feel old, it's that they look way too young.
Oh, yeah. Well, not that I feel old either, but when I started looking around, I am younger. I get accused of being my son. We talk on the phone all the time.
Well, for a while, I think I've aged a lot in the last 10 years, but prior to that, I'd go out with my daughter to dinner and people thought we were together. So we'd make it a point that she'd call me dad quite loudly at some point when we first walked in. Dad and kid, just to, you know, lay the groundwork.
Yeah, but like I said, I feel I'm young in my head and my heart, but
yeah,
when I look around, I'm not, you know. So
by comparison.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate it, man.
All right, you bet. Thank good you. Day. Got around to see you. We got news in about 9.
Mike McConnell here. Before you get into your jammies, think about this.
According to a recent poll, men who drool in their sleep have higher IQs than non-droolers.
And the news is that the Charlie Brown specials, which were just going to be, where were they going to be? HBO or somebody bought them. Apple TV. Yeah, Apple TV. They will be on PBS. Pretty much everybody gets PBS. The Thanksgiving one's going to be on, Christmas one's. Just Google it. Charlie Brown specials will be on broadcast television. You can see them for yourself. Good news for the kids. Big news for the kids. Older kids in this case. The old, it's not Claymation. What was it? That stop action Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer show, with Burl Ives singing. The Abominable Snowman and all that. Abominable. Anyway, some guy owned those figurines that they used, both the Rudolph and the Santa Claus figurines. And I knew they were going up for auction, and they did. So they brought in $150,000 and $200,000 respectively. Which one got more? The buyer not identified. The seller, guy from New York, told the AP before the auction he thought he'd never part with the dolls but wanted to be able to take care of his kids and grandkids with the money. So he agreed to sell them. They were from the 1964 stop-motion animation television special, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Rudolph was 6 inches tall. Santa was 11 inches tall. Made in Tokyo of wood, wire, cloth, and leather. And are still malleable. Rudolph's nose still lights up after all these years. Santa's beard, made from yak hair. That's important to know. So it doesn't really say which one went for the most money. It says Rudolph and Santa Claus, then it says 150 and 200. So I'll assume Santa Claus went for more than Rudolph, but that's a good chunk of change. Taking care of the kids and the grandkids. And since we talked about getting old, there's actually some good news here. They come up with, they say, an inexpensive way to ensure a healthier heart. A wonder pill has been developed containing 4 medicines that they say can halve the risk of a heart attack or stroke and save millions of lives. It's a cheap poly pill. They say it will cost just pennies, a cocktail of different blood pressure drugs, and a lipid-lowering medication, which if you take that with an aspirin, would cut cardiac arrest and brain hemorrhages by at least 40%. Saying this is the start of a transformational approach to preventing heart disease. We could save 1 million people from experiencing serious heart disease or stroke each year with effective use of the poly pill and an aspirin. Coronary heart disease and stroke, top causes of death worldwide, claiming 18 million lives a year. More than 40 million impacted by cardiovascular events each year, including those who recover. The poly pill, not only effective, but likely to be cost-effective, since it's based on commonly used generic drugs. The news out of Hamilton, Ontario, so we'll assume. Okay, it was done in the New England Journal of Medicine, published on it, so there's got to be some validity to it. The magic pill, we will live forever. All right, don't know what Eddie and Rocky are doing, but it's going to be a show, and they'll be in here momentarily and take over, and then back to the morning show for me tomorrow morning. So 5:06, even if you're not up at that time, it's really worth it to enjoy an hour of the practice show before it starts getting serious. But yeah, back tomorrow morning, enjoy your day, and we'll talk to you then. Dave Keaton, fine job producing these past few days. I'd recommend you for a raise. Drop my name. All right, 3 o'clock's time. You got News Radio 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Putting out warnings, also issuing...